Let's say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring you greetings this morning again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to be here with you. I want to welcome all the visitors who are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be gathered together again. I mentioned earlier about Zach. I think their boys started getting sick, some of the children, a couple days ago, and Zach started feeling pretty rough yesterday afternoon. So, yeah, I wasn't sure where we were going with the message, but I have one here that I would have preached. I haven't preached it anywhere for at least 10 years, and it would have been the message that one of the messages that I preached the most of any message that I've had as far as sharing it at other churches when we had pulpit exchange and things. But yeah, the message we're going to be looking at this morning, I was thinking a little bit along the line of being the last day of the year or the last Sunday of the year, and what are we doing or what did we do in the last year for the Lord? Where are we at today compared to where we were a year ago? Have I grown in my walk with the Lord? Have I been stagnant? Have I backslidden? God forbid. Have I fallen to sin and turned away from God? Am I running away from God, or am I hearing God's voice, and am I being faithful to what God has for me to do? A little illustration or a little saying, it says, every morning when you wake up, you have a choice. You can choose not to run, but if you don't run, you can't win. Secondly, you can choose to run, but not give your best. And if you don't run your best, you're sure to lose. Thirdly, you can choose to run and run your best and strive for the prize by focusing on the finish line. The title of the message this morning is Running to the Finish Line. You know, as we think about life, the Christian life, we know that we're not in this in a race as far as competing with one another. But yet, the Apostle Paul, nearing the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, he said it like this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course or my race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that are faithful and love his appearing. So we see that the Apostle Paul put it there that how he had fought a good fight. In other words, he didn't give up. He gave it his best. He stayed faithful. He ran his race. He ran the course. He did what God had set before him. And through it all, he kept the faith. You know, I had to think a little bit. I won't take time to turn to it. But we have the time when he listed a lot of the things that he had went through. We know by the different teachings, the things that he had faced, the different things that he had went through in his ministry here on this earth. But there was one point he listed several of them, how he was shipwrecked, how he was hungry, how he was in clothing, how he was cold. There's several more. But yet, through that all, he kept us focused on the Lord, and he remained faithful through it all. Another thing to think about is in life, if you're going to run a race and win, you're going to have to run to win by staying focused on the finish line. You know, you think of a marathon or even when I was in school, we would have a race. It was just maybe a 100-yard dash or something. I don't remember what they called it anymore. It wasn't real long, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But if you started running and you got distracted and looking at the people around you, that wouldn't work. You wouldn't stay focused. No, your focus was on that finish line, and you were getting there as fast as you could. But I want us to think about that in our life with the Lord. What are we focusing on? Are we getting distracted by the inconveniences or the disruptions or the sin, the wickedness around us, the anything you can think of that are be distracted by? Or are we remaining faithful and staying focused on the finish line? The passage we'll be looking at this morning is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. I'm hoping I'll be okay here this morning. I think I'm pretty much better, but I still got a little tickle in my throat sometimes. But other than that, I'm pretty much over what I had. So hopefully we'll make it through here this morning. But Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We see here in this passage this morning the law of the harvest, of the sowing and reaping. And we want to look at three different things here this morning if we're going to remain faithful and reach the finish line as a winner and be able to get the victor's crown. The first one we want to think about is don't give in to sin. We see that there in verse 7, the first part of 7a. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, today people live in their own way. They live in what they do and what they want to do. You see so much sin abounding. You see, even within the church, in many churches, you see sin that is just prevalent, not being taught against, not being stood up against, not being said what is wrong is wrong. I don't have this in my notes, or it just came to me now. We live in a day and age where wrong is being called right and right is being called wrong. But where are we at as Christians? Satan is full of lies and is the father of lies. If there is one thing that he would like to tell you and get you to believe is that you can sin and get away with it. We are living in a day and age and in a generation that thinks they can sin and it can be okay. We see people being rebellious. We see people lying about one another. We see people being gossiping about one another. There's so many things you could point at and say that is against what God wants us to do. But here in this first part of this verse, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, what he said is truth. It is truth from the day it was written and spoken, and it is true to the day, the end of this earth. You know, think about it for a little bit. If people really thought they couldn't get away with their sin, they would do their best to not sin. They wouldn't be deceived. In other words, sometimes I think Satan has people so deceived or has the wool pulled over people's eyes so strongly that they don't even recognize that what they're doing is against the will of God. Back in Psalm chapter 10, or Psalm 10, the psalmist David was talking about wicked people. In verse 11 and verse 13, he says it like this. He has said in his heart, in other words, this is a wicked man, those that are wanting to do their own will or their own way. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. You know, God has deceived people in that way today. There is nothing that we will do that God's face won't see. And then in verse 6 or verse 13, wherefore doth the wicked contend God, and has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. In other words, he's saying that the wicked will say that God's not going to require that of me. But we know that that is not true. The word contemn there is, the definition of that is to despise or to scorn. Excuse me. Thinking a little bit more there about God not being mocked, there in verse 7a, mock, the definition of that is to treat scornfully, to mimic, to laugh at, to deceive, or to disappoint. So we could say it like this, that God will never be laughed at, God will never be treated scornfully, God will never be deceived, and God will never stand or tolerate sin. Another saying, and I've said this before, but it says, you may be able to fool some of the people some of the time, but you can never fool God at any time. God knows where you're at. God knows what you do in your secret times. You know, and I was just thinking about here as far as sin. You know, is there anything, would you be ashamed to share anything that's on your computer with anybody sitting in this room? And if you are, you might want to go check where your life is. What about the things you looked at in the past week? I'm not trying to be harsh here, but I'm trying to be real in reality. There's so much pornography. There's so much evil and wickedness that you can look at. And I trust that none of us are involved in that. But if you look at the statistics of Christian men, there was one man that I just heard about 2 years ago that confessed to being involved in a wrong relationship. And he said, I thought when I first started looking at pornography, I could control it. But he said, I found out it controlled me. And I sat there and that man wept in tears as he confessed what all he was involved in. It's not something to play around with when you think about sin. Why is it that you can't get away with sin? Let's look at the rest of verse 7 there. 7b, whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap. There is a law of harvest, a principle of sowing and reaping. God has designed it this way. A man always reaps what he sows. You know, thinking of the law of harvest, of sowing and reaping, many of us have gardens or have experience with gardens or have experience with growing things. When you sow corn, you expect to reap corn. You don't expect to reap strawberries or green beans if you sow a seed of corn, or vice versa. You will harvest the product of the seed that you sow. So if you sow to the seeds of sin, you will reap the harvest of sorrow. If you think you can sow the seeds of sin and reap the harvest of blessing, it just won't happen that way. That's against what God has designed it to be. In Galatians 6, here in our text, there in verse 8, we basically have two options. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That word there, soweth to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we continue down in sin, we continue to walk against the will of God, there will be a lot of consequences because of that. The word corruption here refers to decaying or rotting. Sin will rot or deteriorate your soul. Sin will sour your salvation and rob you of your joy. You know, I said there in the opening, I asked a couple questions of what we have done in the last year. If there's anything, that any area we have backslidden, if there's any area that we have sinned, if there's anything that we... I guess one thing that is often a balance and check for me in my own personal life, is there anything I'm doing today that I would have looked at a year ago or 5 years ago and what I would have said it was sin based on a principle or based on the Word of God? If it is, we need to make sure we are examining our life and maybe even talking to somebody else about it and asking them to help us work through that as well. So we see here a little bit, there's two principles of the law of the harvest. You will reap what you sow. In other words, you're going to reap the benefits of what you sow, and you're going to reap more than what you sow. If you sow a kernel of corn, you're going to reap more than just another kernel. You're going to have a whole ear that's full of kernels. Same with anything else. If you plant peas or beans, somebody said it like this too. If you take a jar of wheat and you grind it up, you can make a loaf of bread. If you take that same jar of wheat and you plant it, you will probably harvest enough wheat to make a whole grocery store full of bread. So that's part of the law of the harvest of sowing and reaping. The seeds that we plant, what we say, what we do, they will multiply. Think of this in a positive way. We've been looking at some of this in a negative way, but we want to look at this in a positive way of encouragement as well. You sow seeds of kindness. You sow seeds of friendship. Sow seeds of purity. Young people here this morning, regardless of what age we are, there's nothing that you're going through or tempted with that we haven't went through as well. All of us go through those things. Finding our way, finding who we are. Developing convictions, finding our own identity as we get older. Are we sowing seeds of love? Are we sowing seeds of encouragement? Somebody said it like this one time. Here's something to think about. Did you ever know that the way to get more of what you need from others is to give other people more of what they need as well? Think about that for a moment. Do we want people to be kind to us? Let's be kind to them. If you want more understanding from others, be more understanding to others. Another thing to always remember, many times you will reap later than what you sow. There's a process of cultivation, irrigation, incubation, and then you will get the harvest. The point that we want to think about is don't give in to sinning. You will reap the consequences later down the road. Yes, we can come back and there is grace and can be forgiveness, and I'm so thankful for that this morning. And we can be forgiven, but we will still have the memories, and many times there's consequences that go along with the things we have done as well. Part two we want to think about is don't give up on serving. We see here, like I said there a little bit ago, some of what we've been talking about here is maybe a little bit negative or could be looked at as negative, but yet it's a reminder for us of where we are at. But thinking about not giving up on serving, the law of harvest was not given to us to discourage us, but to encourage us. We see there in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. I think that's good. And of what the Apostle Paul, well, there's verses I had read where he had said at the end of his life, that he has fought a good fight, he has kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness awaiting him. Working for the Lord many times is a joy. We have a peace within us that is unexplainable. But yet there's times of disappointment and discouragement. There are times you can feel like you're spinning your wheels and not getting anywhere. Were you ever in a rear-wheel drive car or truck and you were stuck in the mud or snow? You sometimes didn't get very far. You would go back and forth and back and forth. I actually almost got my skid loader stuck this morning bed in a pen. That was almost the same feeling. But you hope you're going to get yourself out, and I did get myself out. It was everything so wet and dreary from all the wet weather. But going back to a car spinning their wheels, the cars we have today are nothing. They got those traction control systems on. If you're stuck, you might as well give up most of the time, unless you have four-wheel drive. But yeah, here you go back and forth, and you rock back and forth, and you're only making your ruts deeper and getting yourself stuck in worse. Sometimes we can feel like that. We don't see much fruit from our labors. But the Apostle Paul is encouraging us here, don't become weary in well-doing. In other words, don't become weary in living right, in living godly, in serving the Lord, in doing what God has for you to do. He don't say that we'll reap the benefits today or tomorrow, but in due season. The Lord's work is not an easy ride. You don't become a Christian and sit back in an easy chair and watch the world sail by. No, it's more like sometimes we're out on the front lines of a battlefield, winning one victory at a time. But God's work is a wonderful work, a rewarding work, but it can also be a hard work. There's a poem that I found many years ago. I'm sure I've shared this before, but it says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. I have that hanging in my office, and I have a small plaque of that in my Bible that I carry with me all the time. Then there's another little saying, it says, quitters never win and winners never quit. Another little illustration, Winston Churchill once addressed a group of college students. He stood up and said only four words and then sat down. But these four words had a lot of impact on many that were there that day. And the four words that he said was never, never, never quit. And I'll leave that with you this morning. Never, never, never quit serving the Lord. Never give up on doing what is right. Paul is telling us here to not lose heart. Don't quit. I believe we would be amazed in many times how we're one moment away from victory. And when people quit, Satan tries to discourage us in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a temptation. He might just feel like giving up. But it's in those moments when we need to turn and cry out to God and rest assured that He is there for us. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 40:31, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, but they that wait or rely upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I love watching eagles fly. They just fly so gracefully. They, in connection with this verse, and that's kind of what it tells us that we will do as Christians. But they just seem to not take a lot of effort to stay up there. Every now and then they'll flap their wings a little bit, but they're just soaring along. But that's what it's telling us that we can do here. That if we wait on the Lord, if we rely on the Lord, if we trust in the Lord, we will be renewed in our strength. We will mount up with wings the same as the eagles have. In other words, we can stay above the filth and the evilness and wickedness of the world, and we will continue to run and not be weary, and we will walk and not faint. The verse in 2 John, verse 8. Says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things that we have wrought or have worked for, that we shall receive, that we can receive a full reward. Somebody said this morning or somewhere, I think it was in the Sunday school class, about maybe praying for things for many, many years, you know, sometimes not seeing an answer to our prayers. I forget what the whole thought there was. But thinking a little bit about God's work seeming hard or not seeing much fruit from their labors, there was a man by the name of George Mueller that had a neighbor man that was a very evil man. He prayed for that man for 45 years, witnessing to him, telling him about Christ. But when do you think that neighbor man got saved? It was at the funeral of George Mueller. George Mueller never got to see the benefits of his 45 years of labor. And this is a true story. That gives us the courage, you know, we may not see the results or the fruit from our labors, but we can rest assured that if we are doing what God wants us to do, God will receive the increase. The Lord of harvest, God Himself, has promised us if we continue to sow and not grow weary and don't lose heart and don't quit, we will reap a harvest. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Very familiar and very good verse. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. In other words, stand firm, unmovable, not being swayed to the right or the left. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, always doing what the Lord has for us to do. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Part 3, don't give up on sharing. Verse 10 there in our text, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I believe it's saying here that we need to take every opportunity we have to do good to those around about us in any way that we possibly can to help others out. But did you catch what it says there in that verse? Especially to them who are of the household of faith. I believe our first and foremost responsibility is to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to do good and to help carry them along. John Wesley had a simple but profound rule for his life. He was like, said it like this, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can, and as long and as forever as you can. He didn't leave a whole lot out there. In other words, always do good to everybody around about you. Our priorities need to start within the church. We need to be there for one another as brothers and sisters, with needs, with sorrow, with encouragement, whatever the needs may be. But we also need to reach out to the communities around about us as well. Thinking about doing good and loving one another, two verses in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 through 13, says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Every chance we get, we need to show God's love. Another little poem that I really like, really makes you stop and think, but it says it like this. When you get to heaven, God won't ask you what kind of car you drove, but he'll ask you how many people you drove that didn't have transportation. God won't ask you about the square footage of your house, but he'll ask you how many people you welcomed into your home. He won't ask you about how many clothes you had in your closet, but he'll ask you about how many others you helped to clothe. He won't ask you what your highest salary was, but he'll ask you if you compromised your character in any way to obtain it. He won't ask you what your job title was, but he'll ask you if you performed your job to the best of your ability. God won't ask you how many friends you had, but he'll ask you to how many people you were a friend. God won't ask you what neighborhood you lived in, but he will ask you how you treated your neighbors. God won't ask you about the color of your skin, but he will ask you about the content of your character. There's a lot of things in there to think about as we think about life. So as we think about running to the finish line this morning, verse 9 there, it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It's one more little story. I wasn't sure if I was going to read it, but I think I will, because it really brings out the thought of what we're really doing in life. And this here again is a true story. There's a man by the name of Henry Morrison who was a missionary, had served the Lord in Africa for over 40 years. On his way back to the United States, he began to wonder, will anyone even remember us? Will anyone recall who we are? Will there be anybody to meet us when we pull up to the dock and get off the boat? Well, unknown to Henry and his wife, Teddy Roosevelt, the President of the United States, was on board that ship, and he had gone to Africa on a hunting trip. When the ship pulled into the New York Harbor, he looked to see if anyone had come to welcome them back home. There were thousands of people that were there cheering. There were signs, banners, and billboards everywhere saying, "Welcome home." Henry and his wife were so excited about the crowds of people that were there to welcome them home that they went back down to get their luggage. When they came back on deck to get off the ship, all of the people were gone. They had come to welcome Teddy Roosevelt. There was no one there anymore to meet him or them. Henry went to his motel room that evening with a heavy heart. He sat there on his bed and he said, "Honey, I just don't get it. For 40 years we poured our lives into ministry and service. And we come back to America, and there's not even a single person that remembered about us or came to welcome us home." His wife came and sat down next to her husband, and she put his hand on her shoulder and comforted him with his words. And he said, "You're forgetting one of the most important things in life. We're not home yet." May this be a comfort to each one of us. It don't matter where life will take us. Our reward is in heaven, and we need to remember that we're not home yet. This world is, we're just a passing through. Never give up on doing what is right. Always stand for purity. Always stand for holiness. Always stand for integrity. Always stand for what God wants us to do. Let us be careful to continue to run the race that is set before us, and let us finish well. Verse 9 there in our text again, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." I trust that each one of us someday will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's a song that's been floating around the last couple months, and I forget who it even is that sings it, but the one family, the uncle died, would have been the dad, the brother of the dad of the family, but the one boy is the one that got it together, I think, of doing it. And they sing that song, "Well Done." And it just is very encouraging. His uncle died of cancer back in May of this year, just in May of 2024. I think he was in his 50s. Many of you may have heard that song. It's been floating around different times. I've been hearing it and seeing it. But, you know, I trust that each one of us will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's only two options when we get to this end of this life. It'll either be "well done" or "depart from me, I never knew you," one or the other. Are we being faithful? Are we being weary, becoming weary in well-doing? Sometimes the load gets heavy. There's another song, I don't have it with me, but it just came to me. It talks about the singers get weary, the laborers get tired. I'm going to chop it all up now. I better stop there. But in other words, regardless of where we are at or what we are called to do in our Christian life, there are times we get weary. There are times we get tired. There may be times we need a rest. But in those times, let's never quit serving the Lord or being faithful to Him. Those thoughts in mind, for those of you that conveniently can, let's kneel for prayer.